Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Maureen Holleran, as you all know, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I'm very, very happy to say that in a moment, Robert Murch, the Ouija board guy, will be joining us. And before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host, Steve. How are you doing this evening?
I'm very well, thank you, Maureen.
You sound very clear and calm and collected. And you're here still after the 20th. Thank you for being here with us and not the Mayan taking you away.
Oh, you're welcome.
Very nice.
I wouldn't miss a show.
Yeah, I know. I just, you know, I can understand that. So, sorry, Mayans. Steve, can you tell us a little bit about who you are?
Absolutely.
What you do?
Well, I'm with Psychic Access. So I give readings online at psychicaccess.com. I'm fascinated by all forms of metaphysics. I was born a psychic medium, so I communicate directly with spirit. But I'm also particularly interested in hermetic astrology, understanding people, events, any entity basically, and accurately understanding and predicting conditions and events in a person's life or within an organization.
Yes, and I might add you're really connected to something quite connected with you, I guess. You fuse well with what you're doing in that too, I might add. Thank yourself.
I love my work. I really do. I wake up in the morning and always excited about my work.
You do jumping jacks. Go, yeah, I love my work. Yeah, Steve. No, I think it's quite fascinating how you've really found another passion there. Pretty intense. Hi, Brenda. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm wonderful.
Happy birthday to Brenda on the 24th, everybody.
Oh, yes. I'm 35 again.
Yes. And you're a fabulous, and you were looking hot and a belly dancer too. And Brenda, can you please? Wait for it. I love it when Brenda describes what she. And Brenda, what do you do?
Well, I work with all you lovely people on PsychicAccess.com, and I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places. I use the crystal ball and the tarot cards and the playing cards and the Ouija board.
Right.
Special occasions. That's why I'm so I'm excited about the show tonight.
I think Steve is too, but the girls, especially because we're all crazy good. But thank you, Brenda. And we have our guest host, as we love to have her. And let's give a big welcome giving her the clap, Rez Miranda.
Hi, Rez. Thank you. Hi. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
And please enlighten us about what you do. I love what you do too.
Oh, and I love you back. Well, I'm a psychic tarot, clairvoyant, Ouija board lover as well. I'm specializing lately in law of attraction readings. I love to look at people's cards, tarot cards, and see what you've been attracting, where you've been, where you are now, and how you got there as far as the law of attraction goes, and then how to get where you want to be and manifest what you want and create what you want and really how to understand your subconscious and make it work for you, because there's just not enough good information out there about that, I believe. So our minds are amazing things and very powerful things, and so I use that in conjunction with sometimes in private doing a little timeline hypnotherapy too, to help you release negative beliefs and things like that. So that's what I do. It's a gas.
Yes, and I respect what you do. You're a fine, insightful intuitive, helpful human being.
I humbly thank you.
No, you are. Everybody is on the show. And well, my name's Maureen. I'm an intuitive empath tarot as my main tool. And I love helping people. And I get a lot back from the readings I give, some of the readings more so, from when I'm doing readings. And I do also love my work. It's even when I'm down, it's like I must do it. It's something I must do. So, and I work at psychicaccess.com with everybody here on the show. So, I am so excited and wait for it. And, okay, so now he does like to be called Merch. His name's Robert. Hi, Merch, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, Merch is great.
I know, I did read on your thing. I am so happy. You know, I was, it's been funny because I know when I approached you, it was 2 years ago, and I really wanted you because, if you heard us, the girls, Steve didn't mention it much, but the girls, we are all very happy users of the Ouija board ourselves. There's no negative stuff going on with us, but I got the best person for this. I mean, everybody listening to this, I have got the best person any guest could be for this topic, and that's why I would wait years to get you.
I'm so really. Sorry it took that long to line up.
No, I didn't want to. No, it wasn't about that. I was just wanting to let people know. I would have waited years because there wasn't anybody else that I could feel that could really give the insight and knowledge that you have because of who you are, and you are known as the expert of the Ouija, and I've done some research, and of course, and I know why. So how did you become interested in the Ouija board? I want to ask you first.
I was raised Orthodox Jew, and so anyone who's raised in an Orthodox religion, spirituality, ghosts, and what we look at today, supernatural world, it's all very real. You know, it's just part of what you do. So, the fact that ghosts might exist or other things other than yourself, it's all kind of just fact. It's you start there as opposed to trying to get there. And we lived with my grandmother for a long time, and she was great. She liked to make me watch Creature Double Feature when my mother would leave and I wasn't supposed to be watching it. So a lot of this stuff was around me from a really young age. And then I saw the movie Witchboard and loved it. And then when I went to college at UNH, I had three roommates and they decided they wanted to rush for a fraternity. And I knew if I did that, I would not graduate college. So I let them do it, and I figured I could then go to the parties and still be able to study. And one of the things they had to do was a treasure hunt, and on that was finding an old Ouija board. So I used to go antiquing with my dad all the time, so I came home and hit a few flea markets and antique stores and picked them up really cheap. When I left UNH, I had 10 different Ouija boards. I looked at them, and they were all different. And I thought, well, isn't that strange? Isn't there only one Ouija board? And that has basically sent me off on a 20-year quest to uncover the real history along with kind of the urban legend history of the Ouija board. And I've been really lucky. It's been an amazing, fantastic hobby. And I get to talk to, you know, great people like yourself.
Well, you know, it's not only become – I don't know if you heard what I said. It's almost like this is the work I must do. It wasn't like I picked it. This is almost like it sounds to me like this was what – I'm not saying you're uneducated. I don't know. You're a businessman. I do know that. You're a visionary businessman. But I do know that this is something that you – it sounds to me like you were supposed to do this. You're supposed to be the one to do this because you have passionately gone further and beyond – we'll get into that, of course, later, but with the family and everything. But, you know, I wanted to ask you, the first thing, of course, I want to ask you, because this is ongoing, and like I said, you know where I stand, and Brenda and Rez and Steve, I'm not leaving you out. There's four hosts, by the way, Robert, Merch. And we stand on... We're all for it because how we use it, it's workable, but there's so many people the Ouija is dangerous or evil, and they find where do they find out that where that idea come from, and how it contrasts with the early popular opinion of the device, And how has it changed over the years? Like, because you've known so much history about it. So where did it, what happened? Did it, was it always,
No, you've, it's a great series of questions and something that I didn't think we'd really find answers to, but it kind of, it's revealed itself slowly. And the first thing is that the Ouija board, for the most part, the general public or popular opinion was not that it was, you know, the devil's doorway or something bad. For a lot of years, most of it actually, it was seen as something to entertain yourself with or as a tool that someone might use. Hollywood has used it as a great visual way to open a portal, and typically that would become possession. So The Exorcist was the first movie to really solidify that the Ouija board could do this to you. Before that, so if we go all the way back, Ouija is a trademark that today is owned by Hasbro and was marketed by Parker Brothers for many years. But if we go back before Ouija, they were called talking boards. And that's kind of the class of games that these are. And the earliest records we have of that really is in 1886. And in fact, just recently I found some articles that show that a company sent what they called a witch board at the time to President Cleveland and for his wedding and in 1886. And he wrote back saying he appreciated it, but he probably wasn't going to use it in any professional manner. So they've been around a long time. Talking boards are an American invention. And the Ouija board started in Maryland. And William Fold, who would later, he was one of the original founders and was one of the original stockholders in the company, would take it over. And if it wasn't for him, we really wouldn't be talking about this. He marketed this in an amazing fashion. And his idea was to just put one in every household in America and beyond. And from 1890 to 1966, he and his family did just that until they sold to Parker Brothers. So, again, the reason the Ouija board is so popular is it took something that was kind of started off in a big boom in 1886, quickly died off. But what was happening was America was becoming industrialized, and a lot of things that people were making at home were starting to be made in mass quantities in factories. And so the Ouija board's timing was just perfect because as these gentlemen put together the idea to do this, Ouija was the first kind of mass marketed talking board. And it's just been able to stand the test of time. And though people don't understand this, there was a patent on talking boards. So from basically 1890 to 1908, no one else could make another talking board. Just the Ouija board. Some people tried and were put out of business, and it's just kind of a neat story. But again, if you track it, so we'll say like May 1920, Norman right. Rockwell does a cover for the Saturday Evening Post, and it's a picture of a man and a woman playing the Ouija board. Now, we know Norman Rockwell is not a Satanist. He right. was actually just pointing out what was, you know, what was happening at the time, and that was everyone was playing it. And so for a long time, it was just had its ups and downs. It's been blamed in the past for bad things, but it was just not the popular opinion. And again, it wasn't until Hollywood kind of realized that, I mean, if you've ever used a Ouija board, you know when you use it, it's kind of, you've got friends who don't believe it. They think it's a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
They sit down to play it. And as soon as it starts moving, everything changes. Everyone gets quiet. Everyone freezes. And they're looking at you. Are you pushing it? Are you pushing it? It's a very tense, intense feeling, you know? And
yeah.
It makes great movies and great televisions. And the funny thing is the first group of people to come out against the Ouija board were actually the group that it came out of. And that was early spiritualists, especially mediums.
Right.
If you go back,
I read about that.
You know, well, if you go back to after the Civil War, when there was just mass casualties and a big kind of revival in the spiritualist movement, people were, you'd have to hire a medium, and you'd either have to go to their place or they would come to you. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, you know, for $1.50, you've got this device that might make contact with the other side. And so it was actually hurting medium's business pretty badly because it was such a fad when it came out. And so they were the first ones to say things exactly like what we hear today. But knowing it was hurting their business, you can kind of slant it and see it a little differently. So their critiques were, this is dangerous. You're making contact with things you don't understand, and you need a trained medium who knows how to navigate this unseen world to keep you safe. So, I mean, yes, I agree with all those things. We all know the more you're trained and the better you are at something, the better the experience we all have. But honestly, what they were talking about was, hey, business. You still better hire me because I'm out of a job.
Exactly. That makes so much sense because the fact that they were threatened by that, that the Ouija board would take over and they would be out of business. That makes sense. I didn't know that either. And that makes sense, though, to me. So that's when that was like during the late 1800s when there was a lot of that stuff going on with the, you know, PK levitation and the Ouija board would go right into that. So, yeah, so that started it during that time. So the first remarks of the negativity were actually from, everybody listen, from the mediums or the from the people that, so that's where, and that was like, would be the late 1800s, correct? Smirch, correct?
Exactly. Okay. So, you know, again, talking boards started in 1886. Actually, the first recorded fad we have is from Ohio, actually, and Ohio was known for its large and kind of complex spiritual movements or communities that were there. And so the first time we see any articles are actually in like Akron, Ohio. And there's a little boom there. And then we know in Massachusetts, a toy company started making what they called a witch board. And 4 years later, that gave birth to the Ouija board.
Which is the Parker Brothers, which is Hasbro Brothers, same owner, I mean, same company.
Ouija was owned by, it started with the Kennard Novelty Company, became the Ouija Novelty Company, William Fold. And then it went into Parker Brothers, which then eventually was bought by Hasbro.
Right. And so, like, I still have mine, Parker Brothers. Mine's 1972. I'm looking at it while I'm talking to you because it just makes so much sense. But I'm so excited about the show. I can't believe. Like I said, Robert, really, I'm merch. I'm sorry. there's so much. I know we don't have a long, we don't have a really long interview, and I want to get as, I want to ask you so people can get it. I'm just so frustrated sometimes when people about, I want to ask you something. You said the talking boards would show the Norman Rockwell, you said they showed a man and a woman. Wasn't it used for like a dating type of, they wanted to market it towards two people that could use it for dating or like, you know, a couple, you know, like it was a coupling type of game.
Yeah,
for, like, did they?
You're right. It definitely was. And think about this. So late 1800s, we're coming out of the Victorian times. It was still 1920s. You know, it was not proper, especially in the late 1800s, for a man and a woman who were on a date to be alone. It certainly wasn't okay for them to be alone with candles, sitting down, having their knees touching and their fingers touching while they played this game.
Right.
But this game allowed that. And that, the ability, because it opened that door, I don't know if they originally intended for that to happen or if they just saw that's what were happening and then catered to it. But, you know, the directions would say, you know, two people, preferably a man and a woman. They knew how to market it. So the beauty of the Ouija board is it has a couple of lives. One is the brilliant marketing of this. The other thing is kind of its real history. And then, you know, again, there's a pop culture urban legend element to it, which have allowed the Ouija board to be reinvented every generation. You know, every kid plays with the Ouija board, thinks that their generation is the first generation to do it.
I know, I did. No, but Robert, you know, I'm merch. I'm sorry. I'll say.
You can call me anything you want.
I'll call you. I won't call you Grant or Lee. I won't call you names. No. Merch, did you, I wanted to know, do you utilize it? Do you play? What do you do? Do you hang out with the Ouija? Do you touch?
My house is, that's a different show. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. I'm just curious, though.
I have over 500 different talking boards, and then I have doubles and triples of those. And I don't only collect talking boards or Ouija boards. I also collect all the photographs, I track it in music going back to the late 1800s, sheet music, whenever it shows up in a song, movies, television. And the reason I do that is to track how it was really seen, because a common mistake that historians or people claiming to be historians often make is how we see things today is how they assume things were viewed at the time they were happening, which is completely not true with the Ouija board. So if I viewed the Ouija board with today's lens, it would be awful evil and I would not have this many all around me. But because to me, especially the graphics change every decade or so with it incorporates these other talking boards, what was going on. So, you know, in the 40s, originally in the Ouija board, when you could see 1890, well, what was happening in 1890? There were many discoveries in the Valley of the Kings in Egypt. And that was seen as mystical and magical. And so they called it Ouija, the Egyptian luck board. And later on, you would see kind of India become mystical and magical, and then they would call it the Hindu luck board. And you'd see Swamis come in on other talking boards, and just it all always incorporated. And then as the kind of, you know, got into the 50s, and like 40s, 50s, when India was getting really big, you would start to see Swamis with, you know, magic carpets and different things. And then as you got into a little later, you would see horoscopes and the signs all inside there. So it's a neat thing. It reflects, to me, it's a perfect reflection of what people saw as spirituality or mysticism in America.
We were talking about mysticism. You know, so do you think that, because there is so many different, through the early years, there were different schools of thought, whether the talking boards were used for communicating with spirits or the result of your subconscious, you moving. What can you explain? Because that's like those are we're talking about. Because there's different schools about that. I'm asking your view on that. What do you think about that?
Well, so there are three today. There are three major views. That one is psychologists call it ideomotor response, and that's the belief and or scientifically what they believe is that if you notice your hands never stay completely still. Some people's move a little more. They shake a little more than others. But they're always slightly moving, and that's because muscles have a hard time staying still. Your hands were meant to move. And when you put your hands on the planchette of a Ouija board, your hands automatically want to move. They don't want to stay still. This sets you up for a place called automatism, where your mind answers the question, your subconscious, without you knowing it. So they believe you're moving it. You know it. Or you don't know it, but you believe something else is moving it. So that's what they believe. And what falls into this train of thought is when you look around and you see things, your mind sees everything. So your eyes are looking at, I mean, they see the color, the color of people's eyes. They see all these little things that are happening. And then when they ask you afterwards, what was so-and-so's name? And you can't remember. But the name went into your subconscious somewhere. It was filed back. So when people who play Ouija boards ask a question that they think no one else could know but them, that may be true. It may be them answering the question. So there's one train of thought.
Well, then you know, this is the thing. And I agree with that, because when I've been using it since I was a kid. Like I said, still at the same board. But when I've done research, I use it for research, and I would ask questions that had nothing to do, you know, am I going to get married, all that stuff, forget it. Or, you know, what I would do is do things that I would not know consciously about how much change was in somebody's purse down the street. I'm giving you a silly example. But, you know what I mean? To make sure that because, you know, I play alone, but I do know that I think that's where all the negativity comes from. I don't know. What do you think about that? Negativity, all the, you know, I've heard all the stories, you know, you've heard the stories about all these terrible things. I had to burn the Ouija board because there was evil in my house. Do you think people, because they're freaking out about it, or their personalities are a certain way, they just aren't using it responsibly, or they don't?
Well, so that goes, there are some things that go into the urban legends or just kind of chronic stories that are told over and over again, but so another train of thought is that you're actually making contact with a spirit or a kind of something else other than yourself. And then there's another train of thought which has come out kind of more recently, which is it's basically a form of telepathy, that you're actually starting to read each other's minds, and that's how you're answering the questions. I've seen thousands and thousands of Ouija sessions and been part of a lot of them. And I think I've seen all of those things happen, or at least some things I can't explain. I don't know. I've seen, I know when someone's, I believe someone was pushing it and they knew it. They were just having fun. I believe I've seen it when people are pushing it and they don't know they're doing it. And then I've seen things happen where it doesn't make any sense. I can't explain it. It's pretty interesting.
Right.
So I think what happened, the movie Witchboard, Kevin Tenney did something fascinating, which was he took what they knew about the Ouija board in the mid-1980s, which was a whole lot of nothing. But he took those Ouija-stitions and he wove together a story. And one of them was never play it alone, because if you do, you're opening yourself up to this type of possession. And anyone who's ever talked about a Ouija board, has heard the story. My great-grandmother's cousin's aunt's next-door neighbor's kid played the Ouija board and this horrible thing happened. And
right.
So one of the things I wanted to find out was, is there any real proof? I try to approach this very scientifically as much as I can without it, really being kind of scientific. But I went and called the top 10 medical facilities and the top 10 psychological facilities, and I asked the same question to each of them. In the past 5, 10, 25, 50, and 100 years, how many cases and or patients were admitted that had anything to do with Ouija board use? And the answer to all of them was zero. So if you believe that these things are horrible and causing these things, you think if someone was going crazy, eventually they would be brought to the hospital.
Exactly.
Now, it's not super scientific because, one, even if they could, I don't know if they could really answer me because it's kind of patient, privacy things. But,
right.
It was a real, everyone took their time. They didn't just say zero. It took a couple of weeks and they came back to me and said, it's an odd question, but we don't have anything in our records for this. So maybe people didn't say why they thought they went crazy. But to me, it opened that door to belief is an amazing thing. And the reason the Ouija board simply is the mystifying oracle is we all want to believe there's something else out there. And, we all want to believe that you can make contact. That's a very comforting thing to think there's more than just the time we spend here. And the beauty of the Ouija board is, for $19.95, you get an unlimited calling plan to the other side, right? I mean, it's just it's perfect. And it's easy and it's accessible. So, it's one of the few toys, with a quotation that's been sold on the market for almost 125 years.
Toy is, I like that. That's the operative word, toy. But really it's become more than that nowadays, as far as like I said, I get overwhelmed with hearing about, Jane Roberts, I read, she wrote about Seth. Was it Seth report from her? Right. And, I've regarded, and there was this other one from the 1800s, I think, that wrote an actual play or book. Robert, is that true?
Exactly. Patience Worth, the story of Patience Worth was an amazing
story
run. In the 1920s, she wrote hundreds and hundreds of words of prose and poetry, and all of her work was acclaimed, and she said she did it through the Ouija board. Now, that's an incredible feat because we've all played the Ouija board. How long does it take to get you to write out a sentence? Can you imagine writing volumes of books? Like, that's a long time. That's some serious dedication.
It's exhausting,
exactly exhausting. And I often say, it's the iPhone and the BlackBerry. Basically, this is like modern day texting. The first texts were sent to the other side via Ouija board.
Yeah, that's true. I like that. Well, I wanted to ask you, because I get this all the time, and Brenda and Res Miranda, they're on here too, and Steve. If you have any questions for merch, please feel free. But, because the three of us gals, anyway, I know we don't have any negativity issues. I feel there's certain people that shouldn't be on this board, because you said something. We all want to know about the other side, but there's people that are fearful of the unknown, right?
Yeah.
And so they may not want to be on this board because they go a little bit crazy.
I mean? I think it's like anything else. If you're not, anytime you're dealing with something you've never done before, if you don't take it seriously and you don't kind of center yourself and think about what it is you want to do, you know, it's just like when you're starting to drive. You know, I think every mother or father's worst nightmare is that first time they let their kids go in the car and it lurches and it turns. And, you know, it's not really a good thing. And part of the problem or that adds to the negativity is the Ouija board are most people's first experience with the paranormal. So if that's at a young age and, you know, you're dealing with hormones going crazy and people growing up and you've got a huge imaginations along with dealing with something that is, you know, again, still people still are, you know, playing 125 years later, it's a bit of a recipe for some major, you know, drama. And most things happen. Most, you know, when I talk to people and say, well, tell me your experience with the Ouija board, you know, they tell me they played it, it once, it told them things, they never want to touch it again. And so it's an interesting thing. I often tell people, okay, so, you know, you and I we're on the phone. We get into this huge argument. We call each other all kinds of names, and then you hang up the phone. You know, you don't take your iPhone and throw it out the window and say, I'll never have another one of these in my house again.
Right.
You know, you would never blame the phone for your argument. And I think what people tend to, we don't like to take any responsibility. It's a human thing that when bad things happen, we want to project that thing onto another object so that we don't
blame.
Take responsibility for it.
Right.
When you're using a talking or Ouija board, you're communicating with something. You know, I think everyone agrees it could be your subconscious, it could be a spirit, maybe it's telepathy, who knows? But you're talking with something, and that conversation is between you and this other thing, and you're just using the board. The board is just a tool, it's just a telephone. But because the Ouija board has been around for so long, it has taken on a persona as if it is special in its communication. But today, for people who do ghost hunts, and I go and speak at a lot of these conferences, they won't touch a Ouija board, but Jeff Belanger, who's just, you know, an amazing friend, pointed this out real early on, that they're using K2 meters and they're asking questions like, is there anyone here? Do you have a message for me?
Yes.
And because it's a machine, it's a piece of machinery that's far away, you can set it away from you and it's blinking, you feel very safe. But the truth is, if something can make something else blink without touching it, they could probably pick it up and throw it at your head. So I don't feel any safer. Like, personally, I think if there's danger, it's in the communication, not the device. The difference is Ouija boards have been around for 125 years, so they have an enormous history of people telling these stories, whereas you don't hear too many, you know, horror stories about a K2 meter.
Or the EVP, or the, but you know, the...
Or EVP.
Yeah, you don't hear about those stories. You're right. You know, that are used to, you know what I mean? Cause I, you know, my paranormal, that's how I know of you. Cause my paranormal, cause I've done paranormal things with people out of state investigating. You're right about that. Merch, we're going to take a quick 1 minute break, from our sponsor, psychicaccess.com. We'll be right back, everybody.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back with Merch, the expert on the Ouija board and talking boards. And we left off on the paranormal people before not really wanting to use it. But now they've kind of changed over, which I agree, because I have gotten into – that's, like I said, some of my paranormal friends, and I went out of state and did a – what is it? South Pittsburgh Hospital? Yeah. You've heard of that place, haven't you?
Yeah.
Merch, Old South, oh, in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah,
anyway, I do know that they're becoming more, well, they're coming more open to, but it is a tool. The way I look at it is a very good tool. And it's, and like I said, for me, I do use it alone. I rather use it alone because of the people's hangups that I've ever used them with. I don't want, they freak out. Some of them, and I don't want to, it's not that like I want to play it, but this is a game that I've played since I was a little girl. I love this game. I always loved this game. I could connect with this game. And so, but the thing of it is, it is extremely draining to, I don't know how you feel about that, but is that something that, because like I said, I use it as a tool. I'm not just playing around, like moving around on my own, I don't think. But it is, can be very tiresome when, well, like anything else, the work I do has been, you know, the work I do in helping people, it can be hard. But I guess I want to ask you also, and we'll, I don't want to be flippity-flippity around, but you became very, you went way and beyond and started reaching out to Floyd, yeah, William and his family.
Yeah, William, right. Yeah, the, yeah. You know, I'm a researcher at heart, and I don't like to, what I found happening was when I was doing research, people were saying things about the Ouija board in its beginnings, but they were citing articles that were wrong, and then they would just get perpetuated. So what happened was I had my first website was up, and William Fold's granddaughter wrote in and told me, oh, I learned things about my family I didn't know. And so we started talking, and then there was the grandson of William Fold's brother, which was Isaac. They worked together, also reached out to me, and there had been a family feud that started in 1901 because of the Ouija board. Two brothers had worked together, and Isaac was kind of taken out of the business by his brother, and they fought, you know, their whole lives, and then it was passed on. And strangely, they both had contacted me within weeks of each other. So that was really interesting, and I was really nervous because I asked them both, and they both said this feud that I had researched was still going on. But in asking all these questions, they both had answers that the other person wanted to know, and it turns out they only lived one town over all these years from each other, and they eventually decided to meet and buried the hatchet. So it was a fascinating story, and they really an honor to be part of that. The
right.
Ouija board kind tore this family apart, and then put it back together.
That's amazing, Merch. You were even, you, I mean, you've gone, everybody listen. I mean, really, it's not like you're just telling me about, oh, the Ouija board and this, but you got connected with the family and helped reconnect them, it sounds like to me. Is that what my understanding's correct?
Yeah, it was very lucky. And actually, this year, kind of a really, really neat milestone for me happened that I've been working really hard with Baltimore to embrace this kind of really unique history that, you know, only Baltimore can call itself the, you know, Ouija board capital of the world. And the Baltimore Museum of Industry, after 10 years of talking with them, agreed to do the first ever Ouija board exhibit where they did the entire history as it relates to Baltimore. And I got a bunch of other collectors together, and, you know, that's always tough to get other people to want to lend out their stuff, but there's like five or six of us got together and put together this really, really unique unique exhibit that it started in August, and it will end at the end of January. So if anyone's near the Baltimore area or wants to go down there, it's a fascinating place. The museum's amazing, and the exhibit is just really, really, really neat. And they asked me to come down and speak with Brandon Hodge, who's a good friend, and he's an expert on the spiritualist movement and planchettes, because the piece that you move actually lived on its own before it went to the talking board. It did its own thing for a while. So we got to go down there and speak on the subject, and the entire Fold family, both sides, came out for it. So it was a really fascinating, neat thing to see that people are seeing.
Will you ever have in California? I mean, I would take this stuff. I think, I don't know. So it's like an exhibit, but also it's like you have a museum of your own boards. I know that personally. But have you ever thought about taking it into other states? I don't know. Because I'm in California, I'd like it, of course.
Yeah, I think the website I do, I have williamfull.com, and then I have my own website with, you know, just about the things I'm doing. But an amazing right now website, a good friend and kind of mentor to me, that's the museumoftalkingboards.com. And his name is Gene Orlando. He taught me to be an incredible researcher and collector, and kind of made me the expert I am today by pushing me. So I owe a lot to him, and his website is still by far the neatest website if you want to see and learn about other talking boards. So
I landed over there by accident when I was looking around on for you, and it is a very good website, as a matter of fact. The museum, yes, very good. And so, Merch, where are you going to go with, you know, wait a minute, I asked you about, oh, I didn't ask you this. I saw something on YouTube. I think I might have it on the front index page here, or the show page, that video about the Ouija show movie. Did that ever come about?
Yeah, we're still working on it, actually. So, yeah, there's a documentary that we've been working on for a couple of years, actually, and I think we're on the second year. There's also, I do get a chance, really lucky, to kind of talk and work with Hasbro occasionally when it comes to the Ouija board. And so they're, as you've seen, they've done movies with, like, G.I. Joe and Transformers, turning their toys and games into movies. They're actually doing a Ouija movie. So I'll be consulting on that. And also, I had been working on a Ouija documentary at the same time. So we'll see how those two things play out. It's always fascinating. It's always something really neat and new. And I'm also working on a book with Brandon Hodge on the Ouija and talking board to show kind of like the definitive book on all the different pictures of boards and people who made them in history. So that should be a great magazine table book with just some amazing photos.
I would definitely get it. In fact, I think I've seen some shoes. I saw some shoes I think Brenda posted on Facebook, and they're a Ouija board high up. Really? So anything I don't think that something you'd like. Merch, I wanted to know also about, I really am looking forward to that movie. The trailer I saw, it looked fantastic. And I'm sure it'll come out and it will come to full project when it's ready. But I think that would be fascinating to everybody. But I really think people really need to get this misconception, because it has changed through the years, actually, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. There's been a difference in generations with it, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, if you talk to, so I collect them, and, you know, you go to antique stores. And if you talk to someone much older, like, you know, 80s, and above, they will laugh and say, oh my gosh, I haven't heard of Ouija board in a long time. We used to play that and scare my little sister. And you know, they talk about it very nostalgically. But if you go earlier, like 70s and younger now, you're getting into a time when it started to get a little bit backlash from religion and being taught to be bad. So it's definitely a generational thing. And when I first started talking about this years ago at conferences, a lot of places didn't want me to come and talk and do kind of the fun history of the Ouija board. They just didn't want to promote its use. And I give it to the Ghost Hunters, actually, Beyond Reality Events, were the first people who picked me up and wanted me to do this kind of in a mainstream way. And I give them a lot of credit because they took a huge shot at this. And they went from being completely anti-against it to, you know, letting me go up and do a presentation and talk about them, and then actually getting people to use them alongside of their tools while they did ghost investigations. And so, you know, the paranormal world itself, like you said, has done a huge reversal. I'm not saying that everyone thinks it's great or that they should use it, but they're a lot more open-minded to it, especially when they hear the history as opposed to, you know, just what we call Ouijastitions.
I think there's been a lot of bad rap on thing. Brenda has a question. Brenda, did you want to ask Merch this question?
I do. First of all, I love what you're saying about the whole ghost hunting, because I actually use a Ouija board. And I use it with table tipping combined. And
awesome.
I've seen like really incredible phenomena with it. So I think it's a great tool. Anyhow, what I wanted to ask was, I know you've got this vast collection. Are there certain Ouija boards or talking boards in your collection that have like really interesting energy, or some of them you feel are haunted?
You know, it's hard because I usually keep that kind of separate, but it's impossible to keep it separate. But yeah, I do. It's an interesting question. I do feel stuff from different things, and I think that's what probably attracted me to them to the beginning. I think people, you know, whether they hold on to what people have used or whether they just reflect the belief of wanting it to. But, you know, people ask me all the time, what's my favorite Ouija board? Well, it's always the next one I find just becomes my favorite. But yeah, I do have some that I feel like have, you know, they carry something mm-hmm. with them. But I've never had, you know, to greatly disappoint everyone in a house over that has over 500 of them. Nothing bad has ever happened. Nothing even strange has really happened other than the strange people who live in my house, including me. But, you know, the doorway to hell has never opened. And if it did, I would sell tickets and hopefully I would see you all there.
So you haven't had to burn them all. Like you hear about people, I had to burn my board.
It wasn't my thought. My thought was because, and the reason I said that is because I collect vintage clothing. And the reason why I do is because each piece calls to me. And when I touch it, I can sometimes see the person who wore it and I know their story. Mm-hmm. And that was just kind of where I was going with that question.
Yeah, and I think I do. They all call to me. You know, it's odd. I know when I'm driving past an antique store when an antique store will have one and when it doesn't. And I will even be able to find it even when it's buried someplace. So I do have this weird connection with it, and I don't know if it's all in my head or if it's just,
It's not. It's not in your head. It's real.
All right. Thank you.
It's, you know, this is the thing that's why I wanted you on the show to really, you say it like it is, because you have an extreme, you have a knowledgeable background. It's not like you're just reading some things and you know, telling us this stuff. If you had something, we have about 5 minutes left. And so I want to make sure if you were to say anything, like I said, the stories that we keep hearing, they're ongoing and they frustrate me. I say the word Ouija, everybody runs from me, you know, they say that there's something wrong with me. I shouldn't have that board. You know, they all have their opinions. And I notice it's become more and more so, like in the popularity today, what is it like? What's your view about how it is popular in the today, opposed to, you know, in the 1890s or the early 1900s, of what
You know, back then, if you look at the box covers or any of the artwork that accompanied Ouija boards in the 1890s, the entire family got around and played. So they would be from your grandmother to a little kid. And, you know, again, think of a time pre-internet, pre-television, pre-electricity for some people. No telephone. So this was something, and again, because it took so long to get an answer, it passed a lot of time. So people didn't, you know, the majority of people did not believe everything the Ouija board said. However, just like today, the newspapers always pick up the extreme stories. So there have been many stories, you know, one of them's a Lifetime movie waiting to be made. The title of the newspaper article was, "The Ouija Board Told Me to Kill My Daddy, So I Did." And that particular article was a mother was cheating on her husband in the 1930s, and she didn't want to get a divorce, so she used the Ouija board, pushed to answer when she was playing with her daughter, and had it spell out that the daughter should kill her father so that the mother could be with her person. So, I mean, there are things that give it a bad rap, but again, in all my research, it doesn't always play out the way we
hear.
Does.
Yeah.
But it's what makes the Ouija board so interesting today. So kids today mostly play it because they're not supposed to. So it's a bit hard for they're told, you can't bring one of those in my house. Well, you know, we all remember what it was like to be a kid. I did everything my parents told me not to do. I was like, well, that's got to be fun.
Well, that makes sense, you know, Merch, you know, that makes sense because, I'm older than you. A lot. but because this board wasn't, like you said, it's still marketed as a toy, but which is fascinating. But the thing of it is, when I got it, I was raised traditionally Catholic. I went to Catholic school and everything else. But I found this to be my favorite because I guess of who I am. You know what I'm all about anyway. Mystifying article, it says on my board. But it was like, I loved it. So I wasn't told not to use it. And I, did have conditions about, at the time I didn't know all the stories though, in 1960s. I didn't hear what I'm hearing now, for instance. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I wasn't old enough and wasn't listening to the radio or the news about it. But I guess now that I'm older, I've heard it's ongoing. You know, I hear these people ongoing with these stories, and they're burning the border, or they're doing this, and this is, don't ever use it. It's evil, and stay away and run. And to me as a kid, it didn't harm me any bit. I mean, it didn't. So what would you suggest to anybody that has feelings? And I'm not saying people should feel the same way. And like, I don't have any beliefs. All I know is what I know. And I know this board has done nothing but positive. It's not a negative thing to me. It's just not. I have not had any feelings. But I hear a lot of the stuff, and it is hard to release from hearing these stories of so much danger and everything else. So if you were to tell anybody, how could they be open? They don't have to be, of course, but like you said, you asked these people, no one's ever been in the mental hospital from, you know, the dangers of the Ouija board.
But, you know, not that I found, but, you know, again, my advice to people all the time is, like, if you're doing something and it starts to scare you, you should stop.
Exactly.
Like anything else, you know, you're in control of the stuff that you do. And I would say if people do it, they should do whatever their cultural beliefs tell them to feel protected. Some people try, you know, tell me they envision themselves surrounded by a white light. Some
right.
people like to say prayers. Whatever it is that makes you feel that you are in control and it makes you feel better, you should do that. But
yes.
I would say you shouldn't deal with any of this. This stuff is so big. And I mean, humanity has been trying to deal with what happens after you die from the first moment that humans realize that when someone dies, they stop moving and where do they go? So
right.
it's nothing that anyone's going to answer tomorrow, but these are questions we all have, and we all, you know, want to know and find them in our way. And as you explore, you know, I think it's silly. It's kind of like abstinence, right? It's not real. It's not going to happen. It's a great idea, but telling people to not engage with the paranormal world, it's just, it's not in our DNA. We want to know. And I just say, you know, you do it responsibly and do it with people that you trust, with friends that you know, make you feel safe. And,
right.
you know, again, anything bad happens, you start to get scared, you just stop. You know, there's
right.
nothing's going to make
detach.
You do it.
Detach from it, basically, and know that exactly. you don't need
–
we all have our own personal power, everybody. And, you know, the thing of it is, if someone's having head trips and if you're doing this playing, just, you know, laugh it off and stop. Really diffuse it. Isn't that really what this
mm-hmm. –
I think the best way of doing that?
And I think, so remember that the conversation is happening between you and something else. Again, your subconscious, a spirit, a telepathy. The board itself is just a tool. There's nothing magical and mystical about a board with letters and numbers on it. You don't even need a board. You can make it with cards and use an upside down glass to answer
right.
it. It's just that you're trying to communicate with something. And then, again, it's like when we were little, we used to call up prank call people. You never know who you were going to get. And when you got someone cranky, you started yelling, you just happened to dial someone else.
Yeah, I did. And also Bloody Mary. You'd look in the mirror and do Bloody Mary. I don't know if I, mm-hmm. you know, do you remember that? Well, you know, we're about ready to end, but, you know, I do want to bring up one thing. What really is disturbing is I have this angel board, and everybody's okay with using angel boards, but isn't it just the same thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's I am lucky enough to know some of the people who made the different angel boards, but yeah, absolutely. And just to pitch one thing that I'm working on that would really help if you guys do this, is we're trying to get the Ouija board actually admitted into the National Toy Hall of Fame for 2013.
Wow.
So there's a Facebook page to nominate the Ouija board. So if you go on Facebook and you type in nominate Ouija, it should come up. But if you like it, the more people who like it, the bigger chance it's going to get in, and that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So you just type in nominate a Ouija board, and it will find it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
If you type in nominate Ouija, it should come
great.
Up.
Great. And, you know, Robert, I do have – I have to say goodbye to you. I don't want to, but I have to. But
I'll come back.
We do it. You're done. And I hope you had a really good holiday. And I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your insights. Fantastic. And we have your website on for everybody to check out if you want to see more, to contact Robert. Merch, sorry. And so there you have it. Thank you so much, Merch.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. It's been great.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Have a good night.
Come back.
Yeah, come back.
I promise.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'm so happy he was. I really like him. And everybody, you can visit his website, and I suggest you do so because there's a lot of interesting stuff. So to contact, and you can contact him, his phone number and everything. His website is www.robertmurch.com. We also have that under his guest page. You can find that there. He also has another link to another, working with, Res Food?
Yeah, williamfull.com.
Yeah, thank you. And
sure.
I suggest, I didn't know that, but I'm going to do the nominate. I mean, I'm all for that.
Ooh, me too.
No, me too.
And so, you know, I don't know, Steve, what do you think? Maybe you might want to know. Anyway,
well, is that a question for me?
Yeah, I was just wondering. Would you, and after hearing this, because I know I'm not sure where you stand on it, but
I have used the Ouija board in the past, quite a long time ago, and found it very interesting. But I do know of people that have used the Ouija board and had real problems and scares, and that can occur. You know, the more I think about it, the more I recognize that 90% of each of us is unconscious, and that part of us does come under the influence of what's occurring on the astral realm anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are constantly interacting with the astral, so we are under an influence to a certain degree. I guess my latest feel on it is it's okay as long as people understand psychic protection.
It's just a board. It's just a board, though, really. Like, it's a tool like anything else. Like, it's, I think, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll talk about it in our banter. I want to hear more about that because I understand what you're saying.
Sure.
And there's mentally crazy people that use a board. But, I mean, Steve, I do want to hear your input on it. And because you bring up some good points there too, absolutely. But well, I'd like to take a anyway. I really enjoyed the interview with Robert. I mean, Merch. So I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements, if that's okay with you guys. And be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get a free on-air reading with our gifted psychics here, Brenda, Maureen, Steve, and Rez. We'll announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen or pencil and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our last week's show on the American Mystic, you will find a recorded archive link as well as all the archives of our previous shows from the very beginning on psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just click under the archives tabs and feel free to circulate that archives link and future show details to your friends and family. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. Yeah, you know, I do want to say this. For people that are wanting to learn about spirituality or find their passion and they're on a quest, that is a very good way to start, is to go to the archives of our shows, as well as be sure to visit Psychic Bloggers. I think they're both fantastic. They have a wealth of knowledge, you know, and you can audio listen, you can read on Psychic Bloggers, because that site you can learn about everything from the paranormal to the reincarnation to perhaps the Ouija boards and the how-tos of psychic development. And I always refer people to both the radio and the psychic bloggers to get some. Things are a lot different these days than it was when I was trying to learn things and go in library books. But if you are interested in reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. There I go. Atlantis talking to me. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. And I'd like to also say, in addition to that, you can also see a video of each of us, which is great. I think that feature is fantastic, introducing ourselves and what we do. So it is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access .com because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All the co-hosts here on psychicaccess.com psychicaccessradio.com, work at Psychic Access. So if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you all. And by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So for further details, go to psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And you do not even have to have a website for that. So I would check it out. You know, it's extra money. So if you like our show, please visit, please invite your friends. Your animals would probably be able to relate to join in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody. So please spread the word. We'd much appreciate it. Now, I'm going to give the call-in number now, and Brenda or Rez, somebody can maybe type it in because I'm not there to do so. Well, I still can. Thank you. And that number is, wait for it, is 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. Okay, Steve. I'm going to start with you because I didn't mean to start you going and then kind of shut you down. I was getting overexcited. But, Steve, I wanted you to continue on about what you were saying about, you know, if you can.
Absolutely. Well, the bottom line is the human mind is only conscious of 10% of whatever's occurring. And the majority of our experiences are actually unconscious. And that 90% of one's unconscious self resides on the astral realm. So what a psychologist or psychiatrist would describe as the unconscious mind, I would describe as the astral body or the astral mind, which is also the soul or the person's spirit. Now, as a great proportion of each of us resides on the astral realm, we are under the influence of the astral environment that we're in. Just as if you're in California or you're in Tennessee or you're in the UK, you are in some way influenced by the environment that you choose to be in. So we're all under the influence to some degree of what's occurring on the astral plane. And that's why psychic protection is extremely important. Some people are more vulnerable to negative spiritual experiences than others. And in astrology, we see that usually by the positioning of sometimes Mars, but particularly Saturn, because it's the more challenging planet. So if we see a person has Saturn in one of their psychic houses, the 4th, the 8th, or the 12th house, then we know that they're vulnerable to more challenging influences or energetic influences. So they need to be particularly thorough with psychic protection. I think that as long as people use tarot responsibly, not tarot, sorry, the Ouija board, well, tarot as well.
Yeah, same thing,
Any tool that enables to tune in to spirits, the astral realm and above the spiritual realm, we've got to use responsibly. They're really powerful tools. My understanding is that when we use tarot, we're actually tuning into what's occurring on the within the unconscious of the querent anyway, and the cards are simply reflecting what is occurring and what needs to occur within that person's unconscious mind or soul on the astral plane. So the more I think of it, the more I feel as long as we do these things responsibly, we understand the risks of any kind of channeling or engagement with spirit, then it's okay. But people need to know about psychic protection. And you know, there's a ton of information on psychicbloggers.com about psychic protection.
Yes, very good point. And like, again, I tell people this, that I might, you know, private clients, if they're spiritually seeking something, Psychic Bloggers and the archives on the show is very good to start. Really, I agree. And Psychic Bloggers, you can read the other one, you can hear on the show. But Steve, I agree with you. You know, the thing is, it is a tool. It is a tool like anything else. You have to be responsible. But what's happened is, I think because there's a lot of people hearing these stories, and I myself have been hearing these stories, and I'll tell you, some of them started to torment me a bit, to the point where I started questioning, and I go, what am I doing? Recently I've been hearing these. Like I said, I started using this board. It's from 1972. It is when I was 12 years old. And I still have the original one. And I just lately, in the past couple of years, I have just been hearing so much terrible. I started going, woo, maybe I better not. But then I go, no, I know who I am. Everybody should do protection. And you know what? I jump out of airplanes. And I don't think anybody should be jumping out of an airplane if they just want to see if it's all godlike. Because the stress will kill you. For me, it's a different story. But don't play around the Ouija. If you hear these things and you're really influenced by hearing the negative, I suggest don't play with it. I don't know, Brenda, Rez, what do you think about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I love what Steve was saying about the astral mind, the astral body, and the subconscious, and what we are subject to all the time and influenced by all the time. If you stop and think about how much sensory input we experience without being conscious of it, meaning that our subconscious is influenced and affected by every waking moment, and even when we're sleeping, if you're one of these people who, bad you, leave on the TV or the radio or something like that, we're getting information all the time, and you don't know how it's affecting you until one day you're all stressed out, or you've got a migraine, or you're depressed, or you're upset, or you're scared, or you're having anxiety and you don't know why. And so it's important. It just made me think that it's important to develop a habit of psychic protection, not just when we're using tools like the Ouija or the tarot or the pendulum or whatever it is we use, but as a habit every day, taking a few minutes in meditation and making that part of our habit. And I always sound like a preacher or something, I know.
But no, you don't. No, you don't sound like a preacher. You sound like you, and I just think you are just great.
I love you. But really good point, Steve. Really good point.
Yeah, he does make a good point. I like that, too. He's absolutely right about that. And Steve, do you ever use a board?
I've used it when I was young, when I was in my teens, and I'll probably have a try again. I have actually got a Ouija board.
Right.
Well, you'd have to have one. I think everybody here has one, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yes. Well, we know the girl. Yes. We all must. And well, Brenda, speaking of which, you're a collector, aren't you?
I only have two Ouija boards.
That's one a collector.
One is from the 70s, and it's like my original one.
Right.
But, you know, I would take it a step further because I work in this realm, and I know that not everything out there is bright and light and wonderful, because the world and the energies and the spirit, the energies of the spirit world and the super consciousness have negative and positive, just like we do here in the conscious world. And so, to protect yourself and cleanse yourself, it's definitely worth it, because when you're, and I know that it started as a fun game, but it is definitely a game that is a serious game, because it is a doorway and it does let spirits in, whether it's, you use it, you can say it's telepathically or whatever, but it does let the spirits in. And I can just tell you that because it's my personal experience. I've experienced it for 30 years, you know. But I think that taking a caution to set up some protection, psychic protection, you know, any kind of, you know, rituals that you do, it's worth it, because if you have somebody that's sitting with you and doing the Ouija, they may have a mental issue. They may have a physical problem that allows them to be vulnerable to something that's not altogether a nicey-nice spirit.
Yes, I agree to that, and I agree to that very much so. And they're like I said, don't jump out of an airplane if they're vulnerable and they don't like to fly. You know, I use that as a good example.
Parachute, right?
Yeah, just don't do it if you're fearing it, because it's just, it'll be a bad experience for you. So if someone hears the dangers of a Ouija, I'm going to put that out there. If they're hearing dangers, that there are stories that they know are scaring them, don't play it. I mean, that's what my suggestion is.
Fear, you're going to experience it, because fear is you know, it's kind of, a lot of times they could be you know, attracted to that too. You know, if you're scared, don't even do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why put yourself through that? Because it seems like it'd be cool, but you're not, if you're not a kid anymore, it's not cool to put yourself through that, because the experience will probably not be very good. So, yeah. And
I personally use the Ouija. I've used it for everything. I've used it for reading clients. I use it to work on, like, you know, to solve crimes for my clients. I've used it with ghost busting and table tipping. I do it all the time.
Right. Yeah. My board is even getting pretty warped, but I can't get rid of my original one. But you know what? I use mine a lot, but I do it by myself. I just use it by myself.
That's a thing. You know where you're at with all this. So you're
exactly.
And you can navigate the spiritual realm, because you're working.
Yeah. And also, I do this. It's like years ago, and I used to carry a journal. I did it for research, because I don't care. You know, my fingers are moving, but you know what? I do find that I go into somewhat of a trance sometimes. You know, like it was originally from, but it's because it's extremely. It's like something. Sometimes I do that when I'm doing a reading for someone, and it's the best reading for them yet. By the way, if I ever do that and pass out on it, it means you're getting a good reading. But. Yeah. And I start snoring, you're getting a good read. But the thing of it is, I do get, it's, I don't know what you, Rez or Brenda, what you think about this is, I get, it's tiresome. It is exhausting sometimes.
It is draining, yeah.
It doesn't tire me at all.
It doesn't?
We're senders and receivers of information all the time.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I think whenever you're focusing, putting all of your focus, putting yourself in that alpha state, on any one thing or one situation, it could be a little draining, or it can be energizing, depending, I guess.
It could mean that I need some hormone medication. I'll feel better. Steve? Hi, Steve. He's the only guy here with us. Steve, Steve, do you ever have people ask you if you use the Ouija, and if you said yes, that they would not want to get a reading from you? I'm curious about that.
I've never had anybody ask me the question.
Well, I guess not.
And honestly, I feel that, you know, if you're speaking to somebody that makes their living out of metaphysics, that is a professional metaphysician, and you feel uncomfortable with them using different tools, then you probably shouldn't be seeing a metaphysician.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I've noticed, like, if I brought up, I don't know about it. Three of you, what you think? But if I've mentioned something, that I'm okay with the Ouija board, talking board, and when I brought that up, I get to look sometimes. I get you know, an attitude on the phone, whatever. If I'm just talking about, chatting about it, oh my gosh, you use that evil, you know, and I'm like, oh, judging the heck out of me. I don't do. You find that ever happens to any of you three? Well, you know, like I asked you, Steve, but.
Well, people do. I mean, I live in the.
I know.
so I'm sure, but then again, I don't tend to attract or make friends with people who have a problem with what I do for a living. I believe
you might
that
as well just walk around your neighborhood with horns on your head where you live.
I did a TED talk a while ago, and I had to have the police at the house for a couple of days.
Yeah. But do when you want tail and horns. No, I'm joking.
I believe as long as we're working with integrity, we're working responsibly, and we're helping people to improve their lives, to overcome difficulty and grief, etc., helping people to find their place in the world, to be impactful and make a contribution, healthy and happy, then we're doing good work. The measure for me is how satisfied my clients are and how successful and well integrated they are, and what impact they make in their lives. And if I can facilitate that in any way, I feel like I'm doing good work.
And you do good work, Steve.
Thank you, Maureen. I try.
No, you know what? People thank me. It's almost like you own it. So I didn't, you know, thank you. No, thank you. You don't try. You just do it. You do good work. And you, yes, I have respect for all of you on here. You know, we do have a call for Rez from North Carolina. There you have it.
Far out. Hi, North Carolina. What's your first name, please?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. What's your name?
I was listening to your conversations about Ouija boards, and it was weird because I was just playing with one over Thanksgiving, and they can be very impatient. You have to have a lot of patience with them.
Yes, you do. Do you have an old one or a new one?
It's an older one, but I mean, it takes a lot of patience to try to communicate with them.
Yeah, great.
Pendulums work a little bit faster.
Right. Well, like anything, the more you work with it, the easier it becomes.
Right, exactly. I use a pendulum a lot because it's more of a, you know.
Right. Did you have a question for me?
Hello?
Did you have a question for me? I'd be glad to look at the cards for you.
I do. I am seeing two guys right now.
Okay.
And very confused between the two. I like them both.
Okay.
And I just want some closure on one of them. I need closure. I know that's going to come within myself, but I just need a little help.
Well, sometimes it doesn't come when you would like it to or when you think it should for a reason, because they're unresolved issues and feelings and all that. I feel like you're waiting for one of them to grow up. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the younger one or
older. Okay. Well, what I can tell you about the one you're waiting to grow up, that's going to be a very long wait. And what I'm talking about is years and years. And I don't feel like you want to be anybody's mama.
No.
Okay, so that can help you. And this is a person who you can always have as a friend and who I feel you'll always be close to and will probably be in and out of your life for most of your life. But he's a child, you know, and you're ready to have your own kids and your own life and settle down. So that's really what it comes down to for you, I think.
Can you tell me if it's the younger one or the older one?
Well, actually, this may sound odd, but I think it's the older one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So think those things over. You know, keep that in mind. I can't tell you which one to pick, of course. But I really think that you deep inside know. You know, the one that you find yourself taking care of and you know, being their mama, that's not a life partner, you know? So.
Exactly. Okay. Hope that helps. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Come and talk to us more about that on Psychic Access.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bye. Rez. That was nice and lovely. You're a lovely reader. And let's see. No, thank you. Again, you don't. It's all you, not me. Okay, we have. So we are right now. We are able to banter. You know, I wanted to bring up something because someone asked me about angel boards. I think it was Lotus, and she asked me if I got these angel boards. And I did a show years ago on my web TV one on the angel boards. And I brought the Ouija board right in front of everybody. Here's my Ouija. Here's my angel. But why is the angel board so lovely? And everybody loves it. And it's so pretty and special and unicorns and flying around. And I wanted to tell, I did say Lotus, I bought like 10 or 15 of them or something like that in the early 90s at a place that used to carry my audio course that I had done many years ago. And I just purchased a bunch of them to give out, and I still have quite a few, and they're all brand new. But I it cracked me up because, you know, I put them on, you know, on the web, you know, TV, you know, you can see me talking and stuff, my face. So I put the boards up. I go, now, why is it, you guys, that the angel board is so okay? You know, I've never heard anybody put down that board. I haven't, and I know people.
Oh,
have you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think because it's just so easy for humans
angel.
To think that angel, yeah, angels are okay with God, you know?
Yes, yeah, protection.
Yeah,
whereas
right?
Ouija is dark and negative, but they're the same
yeah.
thing. It's
they
exactly
are the
same thing. And I'll tell you what happened with my daughter one time with this, because I would never wanted my daughter to play my Ouija board. It was off limits. I didn't want her to go there because I knew her personality. I just, you know, call me what you want, but she wasn't the same energy as me. There's no reason for it. And I'm glad I did, because her and her little friends, I let them do the angel board, because that was all unicorns and prettiness, right?
Well, that's a good little girl thing to do.
It's okay, but there's the same thing. But you know what it became the same thing, because she came back crying, because the older girls next door printed out SLU slut, okay?
Oh, no.
That she was this, and she was like 7 or 8. Okay, that bothered her, but they did it. So I'm just bringing up a point here, everybody. It's the same thing. But, Steve, we have a call from South Dakota. I ranted a minute there, but there. Steve, South Dakota for you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Who's calling from South Dakota?
Hi, it's Bryna.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay.
Okay, how can I help you?
Well, I was told I go to an acupuncturist. And I lost my only child 4 years ago. And I was told that I'm keeping him around. He's really a strong presence on me. And it's making it so that I will never get through this grief. And I'm stopping him from doing what he needs to go do. And I just wondered if that there's any truth to that.
It sounds very irresponsible to me to say that to somebody. You're his mother. Why would he not be around you? And why would you not want him around you? Now, when we pass to spirit, we still remain connected to the people that we love and the places that we love on Earth. The fact that you feel him around you and want to feel his presence doesn't stop him from evolving. He's on the astral realm, and he's continuing to evolve, but he can still maintain a connection with you. Did he? The month of July comes up, actually. Was he born or did he pass in July? Because my guides keep on saying July.
Well, my dad passed in July, and my son found my dad, and we're very close, and then my son got killed 6 weeks later on September 11th.
It was September, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me see. I'm getting July, but I'm also drawn to February with your son. But I keep on hearing, I'm not saying that this is his name, but it's a name that's associated with him. I keep on hearing the name Dave or David. And I feel that he's referring to a Dave or a David.
Yeah, I don't know anybody right offhand by that name.
I get it really, really clearly that he was connected to a Dave or a David. I don't feel that you were expecting him to pass. I feel that my guides are saying, you know, big part of the challenge for you is it was such a shock. You didn't have any time to get used to what was going to happen. It just happened all of a sudden. I don't feel that he suffered. I feel that he passed very, very quickly. And I actually feel that there was an impact to his head because I feel pressure on my head. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, the sunroof. The horse brought the sunroof down on his head.
Okay. Yeah, I feel that he, you know, he took this blow to the head and was gone straight away. And I really don't feel that he suffered. It was instantaneous. But there's a very strong connection to you. I have to say to you, I keep on hearing a reference to money. I feel that he was either good with money or worked with money, because when before you asked your question, I pulled a couple of tarot cards and I was getting pentacle cards. And I feel that he was interested in money and good with money. But I also feel that he has a desire for children. I keep on being drawn to the feeling of a daughter. Sorry?
He taught little kids.
Yeah, I'm very drawn to children. And particularly to a girl, and I get the name Emily. I feel that though, feel as though there was a girl called Emily, but I know that he continues to. Oh, there's a Pete or a Peter as well that he's connected to in spirit. If you look, if you reflect, you will understand the Peter connection, and I feel that the David connection will make sense in time. But I know that he continues to work with children. I know that he's good with his money, good with financial resources, not that you need them in spirit, but I also get this feeling that you shouldn't be worrying about money. I feel as though you're concerned about money, and he's saying, don't be concerned about money. Money will come. I feel like by July, money comes to you. But I know that he's continuing to work with children. I know that he wants to have children. He gives the name Emily very, very clearly. Children just adore him, and he didn't suffer. And it's fine for you to feel him around you and for you to want to be connected with him. You're his mother. There isn't a connection
you want
special
to say goodbye
in that.
To him and make
it's
him
normal.
Leave me. I want him here.
It's normal.
At Christmas time, it was around Christmas, and that's always hard, and we sat down at the dining room table. And I had an old music box that I hadn't had out. It was his. It was a Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus.
Oh.
We were just sitting there drinking coffee, and it just played all by itself. And I just...
Well, there you
my
go.
Husband and I both thought, well, that's Sean just saying hi to us. And maybe we look at signs sometimes that it's really not Sean, but...
No,
I feel
you,
like
you're very
is.
Well tuned in. You do sense him. You've kept his socks, haven't you? He's laughing about socks.
I gave him socks every Christmas.
Okay, because he's laughing about
60
socks.
Below zero socks. He knew he was getting those every Christmas.
Yeah, he's laughing about socks when you mentioned Christmas. Yeah. But also, I'm drawn to an earring. I feel like you've lost one of your earrings. It's the one. I feel like an earring's gone or will go missing. I feel like you'll notice in your left ear there's an earring's gone and you've only got the other one, but you will find it. But he's just laughing about it. He's very tuned in about what's going on in the house. And there's a chair in the kitchen or in the dining room that needs to be fixed. One of the legs is not stable on the chair. He's saying, watch out, Mum, that leg needs to be sorted out.
Okay. I'll have his dad check him out.
You check, you'll see that he's around the house. He's very much around you, and he adores you. Why would he not want to be around you? Of course he is.
Yes.
I think you've spoken to somebody
We were pretty close.
Yeah, very close. Perfect. You've spoken to somebody that isn't being sensitive. He's very much around you, and he's in good shape.
Good. That's what a mom needs to know.
Yeah, and you'll laugh when
you...
Not only the socks, but you'll laugh when the earring situation occurs because you'll know that he mentioned it to you. Okay?
Okay.
All right. It was lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye now.
That was very nice, Steve. Very, very nice. You really hit some good... Hey, yeah, Steve, you know, come on. The socks thing is pretty trippy. Very good. I'd like to announce a call-in number again. For those of you that may not have heard, and it's 724-444-4851. And so where were we at? When I was ranting, I was doing a lot of ranting. I think I'm getting that from somebody I know on here. We know who you are, Doug. No, ranting feels good. Anyway, does anybody have any, you guys go for it. What do you want to talk about with this? Anybody have something they want to express that I haven't presented a door to?
I want to say I get frustrated when I hear things like this, you know, what we've just heard somebody saying to a mother, you're holding your son back.
Oh yes,
it's as if a mother doesn't
so bad
suffer enough when a child passes to spirit.
So bad.
Yeah,
it's very sad. And you know, that's such a common thing. People... Okay, I can go on now, Rand. Every time I'm doing the show, you don't hear the Harleys out there going, hey, Maureen, come out and go for a ride. You know, no, the thing of it is, it's true. It's like, what is wrong? What's wrong with go to counseling? Everybody, go to my parents, go to counseling. I think I was hearing that, and it was very sad, and it's cruel. And it's no compassion. And I think it's really has to do with the person having some lessons and demons inside themselves. Not bad demons, but demons to deal with, like our darks. Being, I don't know, Steve, you're right. I did hear that. And it breaks my heart to hear that. Actually, I feel very badly when I heard that.
Yeah. You know what bothers me, too, is a lot of times people that are in that situation, people that are in mourning or that have suffered a traumatic loss like that, go for years without getting the help that they need. And sometimes we as psychics and counselors and metaphysical people are a last resort. And I wish that there were some way that we could better get what we do out of fringe thinking. You know what I mean? That I know that it seems like it's so much more accepted to talk to a psychic nowadays. But I think in some cases it's become so commercial and so generic that they think that all we do is just tell somebody when their boyfriend or girlfriend's going to call or they're ever going to win the lottery.
Yeah, so you're right. It is much more than that. And I take it because I'm an empathicness of myself. And Brenda, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, there's a question from chat. So I was going to take this one.
Yeah, please.
It's from PL, and they said that my life is about up and down. No girlfriend, settled job. When will things begin to look up for me? And who is the young spirit around me? She has only shown herself to me once. Okay, let's take a look here. Okay, PL. Actually, there was two, but this, I guess he got his in first or she got hers in first.
Okay. So PL, she's going. Yeah, thanks for checking that out for me, you guys. I didn't catch that.
One of the hidden things that I'm seeing, PL, is that this the young spirit is a family member. I do see it's a family member, but it's a family member from a long time ago, and I feel that the young spirit is kind of leading you out of. You're taking some of these things. I'm seeing an impatience. You're wanting it to happen really quickly, but actually, you know, things in your life are happening in the right order. The first thing I see is you're going to have to look, you know, outside the box work-wise. March is a good year in which an opportunity presents itself, but it is a little bit of a distance away. And I feel that you're going to have to balance once you balance your work and you're able to make that distance work for you, the interesting thing I see happening is you're going to be able to let go of a previous emotional attachment that has held you back from kind of reaching out to a new love. And I'm seeing again in the month of March that you're going to meet somebody new. And I'm seeing that this person is going to be met with in a crowd situation, could even be a party situation in the month of March. And I do see that love enters your life at that time. So that's what I see. I hope the PL was listening.
I'm not eyes on mute. I wanted to wait to see. Because I always like to know because when we do chat online, we'd like to hear back from PL. And in a moment, we will. So I'll sing for us now. I'm joking.
There's another question from chat.
Lotus. Lotus. And PL, if you want to respond to that too, and I'll look at. I did see Lotus. She said she had a question, and it is my turn, about the board. Do you see what I wrote above? And let me see, Lotus. Can you tell the knockoffs from the real ones? I don't know, Lotus. Which question? I'm a little bit confused. Do you guys have which? I'm trying to, because I'm in chat right now looking around.
Yeah, she's also asking, too, if you ask a spirit a question.
Okay.
More than one question, do they get upset?
Do they get upset? You know, and I'll also, PL, do you see that? Hold on, I'm sorry, Lotus. PL says, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Makes sense, and that's good. Thank you. Okay, Lotus, this is the thing. I'm wondering, you're asking this maybe, are you asking this because of your own personal experience, or maybe not? Maybe this is like just a question about my point of view. And again, this is just my view. It doesn't mean it has to be everybody's view. And it's not that I believe in anything, but from what all I know is this, I don't think we should give that much power to people getting upset, or spirits, or whatever you want to call it, energies getting upset. I think we should be more concerned about me getting upset with them. Sorry. You know, really, that's the way that's the way I'll walk into it. I will walk into it that way. I don't feel, and like I said, if it starts making you feel otherwise, I am saying back away from any board, you know, if you're doing that, because again, you're giving your personal power away. I don't want to upset that person or the entity or spirit. You know what I mean? It's just not a good place to be, because you guys, our personal power is what it is. Oh, she's saying, I had a friend that played with the board and her dress caught on fire. It's always about fires in the Ouija board stuff.
Oh, my God.
You know, I hear this a lot, like people burned, or they found the board outside burning. There's always something about burning. I just want to bring it up. And here again, her dress. Okay, so she told you this. So this is one thing. This is what you have been told by somebody that might have, and I'm not saying it's not true. I really want to make that clear. But because she's asking, you know, about her friend, said she was playing the board. You weren't there, I'm sure, Lotus, to watch this visually, like fact, you know, for a fact. She was playing with the board and her dress caught on fire. Well, because she asked the same question more than once. Okay, this is her interpretation why her dress caught on fire, is what she's, you know, Merch, Robert, he made a point of saying something about this. It's always easy to blame something. Didn't he say something like this, you guys? Mm-hmm. Blame something on, of course, the board, or, you know, your iPhone. You throw your iPhone, you blame it, you know, whatever you are, you throw it out the window. The thing of it is, I don't know if she's an expert on if you ask more than one question. What if she asked three? Would she have been burned up herself? I don't know. I'm not making a joke about that. But what I'm saying is, where does that come from? I'm not saying I don't believe her dress was burned, but I'm wondering where she came up. I guess, Lotus, I'm wondering where would she come up, and if you trust her enough, but where would she come up with that stuff, you know? I just don't know. And I don't mean to be laughing about it, Lotus, I'm not, because she asked, but I'm wondering where she got her information. That's why if she read some, your dress will burn if you ask more than one question to the same spirit or something, if you want to call it whatever. I've never had that happen to me, although maybe I wasn't wearing a dress, but
if I just interject something real quick?
Yes, please do.
You know, well, the mind is a really powerful thing, and I know how corny that sounds, and sure. I know how overdone that concept may seem, you know, to some people, but when you're, for instance, just maybe a scenario, okay? You're sitting down with your Ouija board, and whether you're alone or you're with someone else, you're very focused on what you're doing. You're anxious to get an answer. And most people who don't use it or use tools like this on a regular basis are a little bit scared. So maybe she was also scared. Now, there are these emotions coming through her, whether she's conscious of them or not. There's this anticipation. There's this energy. And we are energy, all of us energy. We're senders and receivers all the time. It sounds crazy maybe, but it's possible that she could have, if her dress did indeed catch fire, it is possible that she manifested that to some extent. Now, we're assuming that she means the dress went up in flames and she was horribly burned, when it could just been a little bit, you know, of a burn. That, I can tell you, is not so uncommon of a thing to manifest with our own mind and our own energy and our own intensity, and who knows what else was with her. But I can guarantee you it wasn't from an outside source. You know, the board as a focal point, as a tool, as a focal point for that energy could very well have helped that occur. Just a thought.
Very good way. I really appreciate you saying that because it's very true. And Doug's on a roll. But I mean, I'm just saying. But I think but I think also our mind is a very, very powerful thing. My daughter is going to school for neuroscience major, and she's studying the mind. And we all know our mind, and it's also being scientifically finally proven by the science people, that the bottom line is, and I know by personal experience, like I said, all I know is what I know. And my mind has had so many physical problems for me, mind, body, right? So you could manifest, and also my PK stuff from my past. And, oh, Brenda says something, but I think I will let it go. But, you know, you bring up a good point. And it's not to put down people, but our minds are incredible because
yes,
our PK, my PK stuff, that this is where it all started when I was younger. It's amazing. And I was not in control. What the heck? But we're, so anything, you know, you could look at something and, well, there was that movie Carrie. I mean, I'm just saying it is. And, but also it breaks my heart though, because it's so, that could be very scary. And I'm sorry that she would
have. Sure, it can.
Yeah, very scary. And I'm wondering, Lotus, if she would ever play the board again, Rufus, if she would ever play that board again after that, you know, if she ever found out, because this is another thing. If somebody has an experience like that, I've heard before that they'll go and start edging back towards that board again to play with it or whatever they do with it. You know what I mean? Fondle it. If you notice that, they do that, you guys. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it can be fun fear, can't it? You know, just like
fun
a roller coaster.
Fear. Again, yeah. I talk about jumping out of airplanes. It is not fun for people. I shouldn't be doing it. I use it a lot.
Hello.
I mean, I'd rather splat on the ground if I'm going to go with the angels bringing me up.
Take your angel board.
Yeah. My angel board told me to go splat on the ground. But...
have you seen the psychic circle board? It's like another knockoff. It's round. It's called the psychic circle. It's the
same. Oh, yes. I have heard of that. Yes.
I had one of those for a while, and it never moved at all, ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you have to have the round knights, the table round knights of Merlin.
I can't.
Brenda, what about you? The one you're talking about. Have you?
Yeah, a friend of mine has it, and I've played with it. It's the same concept. It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you could use a wine glass, and then I've made my own Ouija board before.
Right. Well, actually, that would be a really neat thing to do. I feel that I'd love to create. I like to create whenever I can. You know, that's a luxury. Maybe not, but I think that, I don't know. I just think, well, you know, I'm all for them. But like I said, Lotus, I'm sorry to hear that could happen, but I always hear about fire and Ouija boards. Honestly.
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
No, it's true. I was listening to, Art Bell show or George Norrie, whatever. It's very popular. And we all know that show. And, you know, even George Norrie gets all freaked out about Ouija boards. It's funny. But I was listening and every other time someone would call up, they'd all ask about it. This board caught on fire. The other, you know, seven out of 10 calls, or maybe five out of 10, always about fire and that board. Maybe because everybody wants to burn them.
Yeah, but I think that's the collective mind, like, is a powerful thing.
And it's also like burning the witch to the stake. They look at this as a witch. Witch board.
Yeah,
like,
you know.
I brought that up, witch board. You know,
I would just like to say that we have, you guys out there listening may not, you would freak out at the amount, at the numbers of quote unquote religious people that come to us, you know, and I find that it's people like that who I will go ahead and say are a little bit hypocritical that have negative experiences like that. Sorry, but it's true. You know, they're going to play with things like that and it's going to burn them literally or metaphorically.
You know, yeah, you know, PL says something in the chat room, says I'd be scared to use a Ouija board. And I know where that's coming from, because we're fearful of the unknown, and also there's been so many stories about it. Like I said, when I was in 1970, well, in the 60s, I didn't hear the stories, or maybe I just don't remember the stories. I don't know, Brent, you know, we're all about the same age, Brenda and Rez and I,
yep.
And I don't know about Steve, if you've heard stories, I guess, but because I played it as a child, it never bothered me.
This is a thing. I have been around in this realm, metaphysical realm, long enough that, you know, some of it can be exaggerated. Some of it, like, get close, too close to the candle and you burn up or whatever. But some of it can actually happen. And, you know, it's like, I feel it's all energy. And if you come into it, you're scared, you're chaotic or whatever, you could attract something that's wrong. And you could attract something that's chaotic. And, yes, it could tip over you. And the candle could get your stuff fired. See what I mean?
Well, it's the same.
The plant will move by itself sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you know, that makes sense with anything to do with you go into a home that, well, like I haven't saved mine right now, but if you go into a home where there's been violence or energies of not really good people, you can feel it. Mm-hmm. You can feel it. It's like,
sure you can.
You can feel it. Like, I can feel it so intensely. And it's like, even on the board, if there's stuff, energy on the board. You know, I actually, for everybody, I do smudge the heck out of my board. I don't know. I mean, I always smudge it. Smudging by saging is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But be sure to use sweetgrass after the fact in order to bring in the positive. It's very important.
Yeah. Steve was saying something about spontaneous combustion being associated with an imbalance of electromagnetic energy. And I think that is a really good point that I would like for you, Steve, to say more on imbalance of electromagnetic energy. I think that's why a lot of these so-called negative experiences may be happening with psychic tools as well. And how do you know if your energy is electromagnetic energy is imbalanced? And if it is, how do you fix it?
Yeah, good question.
Well, I would go back to your point, Rez, about the fact that we're transmitting and receiving sets. We are. And that's what we teach in astrology, that the planets in the chart show where the transmitters are, or in which part of which departments of life, or which parts of the soul or spirit the transmission sets reside. And I was saying before, we have a conscious self and an unconscious self, also described as a physical body, physical self in this physical world, and an astral being on the astral realm, which is your soul, the unconscious. We each have both. We have to have a physical being to be in this physical environment. Now, you don't have to have a physical body to function on the astral plane. So all of these energies and entities that we're referring to, they are real energies that reside on the astral plane, but that are not physically present in the physical world. But we're interacting with the astral all the time, and we do it through electromagnetism. It's literally the positive masculine charge of the sun, mm-hmm. and the magnetic or receptive energy of the moon, the push and pull, the polar opposites, the positive and the negative of the battery.
And these things are measurable, correct? This is not just woo-woo stuff.
Yeah. No, this is fact, yeah. Right. And literally when your connection to the sun and or moon in this solar system ends, you expire, your spirit exits the physical body and you revert to the astral realm or above to the spiritual realm if you've earned a place there. So it's the process of interaction with one's astral self is electromagnetism. And so my understanding is that spontaneous human combustion is to do with an extreme imbalance of that electromagnetic activity. That's why psychics get very tired. It's because when we work psychically, we're raising our frequency involving more electromagnetic charge, and it's tiring for the physical being. That's why mediums generally don't live to a very old age, because they wear down their nervous system. Mm-hmm. The intense electromagnetic activity can wear out the nervous system.
I've heard some mediums say that they literally die a little bit each time they do a reading or connect with someone on the other side.
Well, we're all living and dying. You know, we're dying if we spend our days miserable, lamenting what isn't working in life. We're living if we focus on what's joyful and what's present and what we can celebrate. We're doing this in different ways all of the time. And So a medium can choose to see it that way, or they can choose to say that, you know, they're connecting the realms and helping people to be alive. It's a matter of perspective. What I know is that the physical body is fed with food and the astral body is fed with thought. So the thoughts, the conscious and unconscious thoughts that we project, are constantly molding the astral body. And that's what's not really explained in all of these books about the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say thoughts become things, but we don't generally explain the fact that thoughts mold the astral body, and what manifests or molds in the astral will download to the physical. So if we're being negative or morose, then we are killing the physical.
Well said, well said. And it reminds me that in hypnosis, for instance, if you're giving a suggestion to someone to stop smoking, and if you suggest to the subconscious, stop liking cigarettes, what the brain is hearing is like cigarettes.
Yes, because the astral doesn't distinguish between positive and negative.
Right.
It resonates to the energy that you project. So if you're projecting smoking, whether you're saying it in positive or negative terms, you're resonating the act of smoking. That's why we say, you know, you teach people, if you want a car, be clear what you want.
Yeah.
Really say, I'm manifesting a beautiful new car, because if you just say I'm manifesting a car, you might get an old blue wreck.
Right.
But you're right that the astral doesn't distinguish between positive and negative language. It just molds based upon the focus of the energy or the thought.
Well said. I just think electromagnetic energy in that topic is so important and so fascinating.
Yeah, it's why when we have solar flares, communication systems are affected, and we are affected.
Yes.
It's the same way that when there's a full moon, sap rises in trees and people get horny and people go loopy. And it's why babies are born at that time, because the moon pulls emotion, it pulls fluid. So it literally pulls amniotic fluid.
Right. Yes.
But it drives also criminal behaviors and all kinds of things. We've got to help the world to get rid of this whole feeling that we're separate. Mm-hmm. You know, this feeling that, oh, it doesn't matter that we're destroying the planet because I feel okay. Because we're interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling that, oh, it's okay that children are dying in Africa. It's not happening on my doorstep.
Yeah, right.
If people are dying in Africa, they are a barometer for what's occurring within everybody everywhere.
Absolutely right. And, you know, you can prove it to yourself by walking into a room and deciding that when you get into that room and you end up in that room, that you're miserable. You feel horrible. You have a headache. You don't want to talk to anybody. You want to just, and you will watch other people's reaction, you know, and how they react to you or don't react to you. And the whole feeling of the room will be pulled down and it'll feel heavy and miserable to be in. The same thing is true if you do the complete opposite. And you don't have to say a word. And that
it's very, you know, real. You can really cause someone damage by projecting negativity.
Yeah.
So when we come out of relationships, don't we, and we harbor the anger towards people, it's very real. It can really hold people back, and it holds us back as well.
Right. And just when you think, you know, a lot of people will say to us in readings, you know, well, I feel like someone was thinking about me.
They were.
You know? Yeah, well, they were. And when you're thinking about them, or you're commiserating about a situation, you know, and you think it's because of them, or commiserating about a situation that you're in, you're giving it that negativity, that bad energy. So it goes both ways. And it's, you know, that's how you could, if you just think about it, you can understand that what he's saying is so true.
Yeah. I think that was a very good thing for everybody. That was really good insight for, don't forget to listen to the show, everybody, because this has been a pretty good show on archives, if you ask me, because we got a lot of good topics between the bantering that's been going on here. Thanks, and really, Rez and Steve, that was fantastic that you brought some really good things out. I think that would be helpful for people to listen. Well, you know what I mean. What am I trying to say?
Reflections, you know, it's all a reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Above, as above, so below. It's all around us. We are interconnected. We forget it because we live in the mundane world, but we have to balance it.
I'm a union person, we all know, but we're collectively, unconscious collective. I'm all for that. And, you know, also it's about when, what was I going to say? I thought I had something. You know, when your ears start ringing and you know someone's thinking about you.
Yeah.
It's true. And, you know, when you're little, you know, well, I was younger, but, you know, that still does happen to me. My ear will ring and, you know, the saying, Steve, have you ever heard this? Brenda, have you heard this saying?
A ringing sound.
There's ringing in your ear and someone's, you know, is trying to tune into you or whatever.
Yeah, it's a changing frequency.
Yeah, and I get it. It's like a radio in my mouth sometimes, too. And I turn the channel into the hip-hop stuff. But, we've come to that time. I am thinking that this is that time where we're going to be saying our goodbyes, and I want to thank you for all for coming. And also, I thank everybody, and Steve and Rez, I really appreciate you bringing up some really great stuff, and Brenda as well. And that brings us to the end of this wonderful show. And thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes. And also, he's hanging out in the chat room a little bit more, having fun. And he keeps track of us. And, you know, he does, as our executive producer. And thank you to all my co-hosts. And Rez, it's lovely having you. I just love you joining us. It's great.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. No, thank you. And Brenda, your show is next week, correct?
Yes, it is. And we're going to attempt once again to bring John Robinson and the Three Secrets of Aging back.
Right. Yes. And that'll be that's right. And he's a great, when I talk to him, I can't wait for that show. That'll be fantastic. So I guess I will say, bless your heart. Goodbye.
Bye. And
night, everyone. Bye.
Great night. Show, Maureen. Thank you.
We'll see you next year, right? We'll see you guys next year. Yay, next year.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. We'll see you next year. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, my name is Rez Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.